Yeah, well, that would be unusual, wasn't it?
Okay, we're recording. May I tell you, we are
all
recording.
Right, all right. No snide comments about each other anymore now. Okay. All right. Well, I wanted to point out that that there are very few notes to this last issue.
Well, they kind of are notes, as I understand it, aren't they? I mean, the issue itself is almost notes.
But there was no... but there was something that was added, which was a bibliography. And I thought you might be interested in making note of some of these things. They were all sort of bestsellers back in the 70s, to a degree. The first one, of course, is a very classic one, and they're probably hard to get a hold of now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's probably still in print, though, also, possibly. But, I mean, an original hardcover edition. It's called The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross by John Allegro. John Allegro was a major biblical scholar. I mean, he had all the credentials, knew all the languages, and, you know, it takes 30 years to become one of these kinds of biblical scholars. And from their point of view, he went off the deep end. Seeing the cross, the cult of the cross is a mushroom cult.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah.
How did he get that? How did he put that together?
he did. He did. I didn't read closely, but I did read The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross. I wasn't came out, which according to this is 1970, but I wasn't particularly convinced of his argument. I think that I had issues with it. And then there's the classic Promethea, the Book of Promethea, which is Helen Ciro. She's a French lesbian writer, and it's about the perfect woman. As here, she's a wild horse. The one that I particularly think that everyone should look at, particularly if you like to read, I mean, you've got to really want to like to read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Douglas Hofstadter's Metamagical Themis.
Mm-hmm.
Questing for the Essence of Mind and Pattern.
Has anybody read his Pulitzer Prize winning book?
Go to Lesher Park.
Yes. I was in a writer's workshop with Doug Hofstadter the year after that book won the Pulitzer Prize.
Uh-huh.
He's a weird little guy.
I don't know any writer who isn't. I'll be honest with you.
My, what am I? He can't play softball worth two beans, but he's a very interesting person to talk to.
It's all translated into the abstract.
Yep. And I might say he did autograph my copy of Good Old Escher Bach, so that's kind of a nice thing to have.
Who is this guy again?
Doug Hofstadter.
Doug?
Yeah,
Douglas Hofstadter.
Hofstadter. H-O-F-S-T-A-D as in dog, T-E-R.
I didn't find that to be a very easy read, though, I'll tell you.
Oh, no, it isn't. But it's kind of mind-blowing or mind-opening, isn't it?
Yeah. As I said, the thing with him is that he wrote those. They also wrote Emo was probably writing Metamagical Themis when you were in his
class.
Yeah,
he probably was.
Because it came out. It was the second book that came out.
Now I know why I get my information through movies, because
they're sort of like inspired mind.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
and it's the interlock collection of literary, scientific, and artistic studies,
which is along exactly the same themes as his first book, which compared Gödel's mathematics, Escher's crazy drawings, and Bach's fugues. Yeah, they were all interrelated. So.
Yeah, so it's a continuation, and I read them, but not as closely as I could. I was way back when they came out.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I recommend that if you open, when you go to look for a used copy of these things, you can find the original editions very inexpensively because both of them were over sold as bestsellers, you know, because the, so you can find nice hardcover copies of these books for like $2.
There's a lot of remainders out there.
$3 versions of these things,
yep.
rather than paying $14.95 for the discounted paperback.
For the trade, yeah.
Yeah. And it's a big enough book that it makes sense to have a hardcover of it. You know, I mean, right now, of course, the science is a little dated, but as, but in terms of relating particularly to the numerological way of understanding, I mean, in a lot of ways, I understood what he was doing was a kind of numerology, you know, a lot more sophisticated than most numerologists, but that's the easiest way to look at it.
Ooh, his wife died of a brain tumor.
Probably from reading his books.
Oh, my goodness, that's terrible. Oh, my goodness, really? I'm not even going to go near his books.
Isn't it? But, I mean, if it's enough to break your brain, I'll tell you that, right?
I'm...
Okay,
oh,
well. And there's,
okay.
the other one, of course, he has a copy of, he has an autographed copy of James Joyce's book, but that's not neither.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
yeah, that, but then they have this Rediscovering the Mind, which was a, by Harold Morovitz, and it's basically articles that appeared in Psychology Today back in the 70s. You know, and but what it does is this is some of the and then the Cosmic Serpent by Jeremy Narby, the Cosmic Serpent, DNA and the Origin of Knowledge, where there's our Mick and Mac.
Yeah.
There are Mick and Mac poems that I enjoyed so much back in the early days of Sophie Bang's initiation into the Mysterium of Promethea. But on that note, I guess it makes sense to.
No, he's a pianist too. He's a composer, rather.
Yeah, people who my take. This is you know, Mr. Stereotype here talking. My take on people is that particularly also is they have that they've got that gene. They have the music map.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, and so this stuff just is comes to them. And they sort of naturally see it. There's another gene that's also slightly related. I don't know if it's exactly the same for strategy, of which, you know, I'll never be a strategist. I was trying to figure out how to play Go the other day, and I could not figure out I couldn't figure out the rules well enough to figure out how one could win. So I would play a number of courses. So I was being beat each time, but I couldn't understand why I was losing from looking at the pattern.
Yeah, the pattern recognition is a gift. It's very much, because I noticed it, my husband's was a tournament chess player.
Yeah, that's another form of pattern.
Yeah, and, oh boy, it's, you know, I got news for you. I have a very lazy brain. I really do.
Oh, I don't know.
Well,
about
mine is slightly miswired. I mean, I already know that.
I like information, but I don't like all of the roundabout ways of getting it. You know what?
I almost enjoy the search and the seeking of the information more than actually having it.
The
digging that I enjoy, yeah.
The digging is fine, yeah, up to a point. Then I get a little... Like, for instance, I sat down with Stuart. I love the concept of chess. I think it's wonderful. When I sat down with my husband, who could play like 48 hours without, you know, only with bathroom breaks, I said, I have things to do.
Right.
Who's doing the laundry? Who's washing the floors? You know, who's doing the, you know, I wind up.
Who cares who captures the king?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care anymore. Let me go off and do what I gotta do because no one else is gonna do it for me.
I think the thing about chess and Go, for that matter, and other such games, is the infinite permutations. I mean, that is what fascinates me, is that, you know, given these limited resources and the limited area, you know, that very definite laid out game board, infinite possibilities. And, I mean, of course, that's very metaphorical for life, but beyond that, just, I don't know, it just fascinates me.
Well, they have created a robust computer program to play chess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, one that can play on almost a grandmaster's level.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily going to beat the grandmaster every time, but it's, in other words, it's a very robust thing. Apparently, they haven't been able to get.
Cynthia has arrived.
A computer to even do a rudimentary Go things. Because the rules, of course, are extremely simple, and you would think it would even ape digital things, but apparently it's much more complex.
It is.
Well, what happens is the Go board is too vast.
Yeah.
I mean, they have like a Tetris or other programs in which they just take maybe a 12 square.
Right.
Situation, but they can't do it with a true Go board.
I think it's 72x72.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this game.
What?
Huh?
Are you talking about the Japanese game?
I thought it was
Chinese. Well, it's Chinese.
Yeah.
Chinese, but the version that's played internationally now is Japanese. Yeah, somehow the Japanese refined it somehow.
Oh, it's refined, all right. It's an amazing.
Yeah.
Well, as I was saying, I could recognize the patterns. We were talking about the one of the bibliography, which is in a PDF file, and specifically Metamagical Themis. And
I've never heard of that game. How is it spelled? G-O?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, there is an Americanized version of Go, very much simpler, but it's still intriguing, called Othello.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've played Othello. And I love their tagline for that. It's a minute to learn, a lifetime to master.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very much true of Go also. It's very simple, but mastering it?
Yeah. Because as soon as you turn over a piece, then it changes the pattern.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a fractal.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that the game that Magister Ludi played in Hermann Hesse's book, Magister Ludi? Was it Go?
That is one of the
that was debated a lot back in the olden days. I don't know if they ever settled it.
Because I always assumed it was Go.
What it was is that people debated what game it was, or was it a game, or could you from reading the glass bead game could you figure out what the game was that was being played?
Mm-hmm.
It was never clear.
No, it was never clear.
If you're interested, you should talk to Farrell Humphrey. She's really involved with Go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, she's kind of the one that sparked me into moving this. But I got a little frustrated when I played the Tetris ones. I couldn't figure out why I was losing those either.
Yeah. I played it like, 43 years ago.
When you were two?
When I was two years old,
Well, Wikipedia has a very good article on it. It may. Has anyone
I haven't looked at it.
I looked at the Wikipedia article some time back. Also, there are go clubs all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
They're free, and there are people around who will try to teach you go if you're interested in learning. I mean, they have places they come and they meet and they sit up and they show you how to play. And you know, because knowing the moves, anybody can figure out the moves.
Oh, the moves are—that's the whole thing.
That's not the point. It's the strategy and how to figure out the strategy that just sort of leaves me drawn. There are also classic books on Go strategy that you can download for free off the internet. So.
It's like the I Ching, supposedly.
Yeah.
But you know what's so interesting? It's very hard to keep a Go board going.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like a chess where you have, you could actually see the piece. Oh, yeah, let's just end this game or begin it somewhere.
Yeah.
You have to keep it because it's so. And God forbid you have any cats, forget it.
Yeah, no kidding.
No kidding.
Or if you live in an earthquake prone area, and you have a problem.
Oops, there goes the game.
Well, actually, on that wonderful note, let's go back to something relatively simple in its implications. Let's do our tarot and the Toth cards.
Oh, you'll love this one, kiddo.
Oh, boy.
Oh, before you start, let me just say, I listened to the recording.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Like I said to Johanna, it was a little bit better on my Mac than it was on my PC for whatever reason. But I want to congratulate everybody. It really was very well done.
Thank you.
Well, you know what? I did do an enhanced version.
Oh, really?
That you can pull off my website. Yeah, it says that. It says edited enhanced version. It cuts off the music and the advertisement at the beginning. And I also enhanced the audio by 600%.
Wow.
It's a little scratchy, but you can always hear the damn thing. I couldn't hear it in its original way.
Well, that's why I say it was better on the Mac. It was much
mm-hmm.
more clear.
No, that's good, Paul. I just sent it out, you know, from the site. I just downloaded it to my desktop and sent it out. Okay, are you ready? Pencil and paper, people? Okay,
this is
the doer, right? Queen of Wands, first card.
King of Wands?
Queen.
Okay.
Second card. Okay, so we have the Queen of Wands in fire. What we have in water is the Five of Wands, strife. And the third card in air is the Magician. The fourth card in earth is art.
Oh.
It's getting interesting.
Art is what?
Temperance
is? Yeah, okay. So that's what, 14?
And then we have, for the fifth card, the universe.
Wow.
That's the hidden motivation?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the seventh card, the outcome. Our
fifth card.
What's the sixth card? Yeah.
The fifth card was the universe.
Okay.
So number six.
No, you said five. What's the fifth card?
Fifth card is the universe.
Right, and the sixth card is?
Sixth card is the Seven of Cups debauch.
Oh, boy.
We got our debauch again.
You're awful partial to that debauch.
Listen, I shuffle the cards. I'm trying to make... Do you know, I was saying, what the hell does he mean by this? And because I'm comparing it to the Rider Waite, and I came to some conclusions. Now I have to remember my conclusions that I came to when I was brushing my teeth last night.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I didn't want to say doing something else. So,
uh-huh.
Okay. Then we have, the seventh card of the Arc of Influence is the Star.
Mm. Wow.
Eighth card, the Fool.
Whoa.
And the ninth card, Four of Swords, Truce.
Five majors.
I must say something. This is a little preview. This spread. We may be Rachel Pollack and I and, who else? Oh, my goodness. I forgot the other person. We're talking about doing a workshop, more than likely in Rhinebeck. I don't know Manhattan, if it'll take off in Manhattan, on teaching spreads.
Ooh, how cool would that be?
By what do you mean by teaching spreads? That's an interesting
that is
point.
Rachel and Zoe believe that this is one of the great teaching spreads of all times.
I would tend to agree with that.
This particular press.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. There's so much meat here, even to teach the cards.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of nine, the whole thing. I mean, it's excellent. Fire, water, air, earth. Excellent.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we'll be working on developing a workshop with another tarot person of great renown, in which I'm sorry it's not Mary, it's someone else. Not that I'm sorry it's not Mary. You know what I'm saying.
You're sorry you can't remember who it is.
I can't remember the name. I'm sorry. I mean, this is menopause at 62. Forget it, you know? I give up.
No pentacles in this spread.
No pentacles at all.
Nope.
The earth has gone.
Here is. Well, the only earth energy is the universe, which is generally an earth-related card, but even
that's
so,
true.
It's kind of beyond earth, you know, so, yeah. Like uber earth.
You know, when I write out the spread, I do HM for hidden motivation.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And, of course, I'm looking at a hangman.
Oh, yeah, HM. Ooh, yeah.
So that's it, people.
What's interesting is that last, for the Blog Talk show, we had the Seven of Cups debauch was in the fifth place. And now it's in the sixth place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about debauch a little bit. Too much of a good thing, maybe? Too many things to offer. You know, there was a great line in the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, whatever his name, by Terry Gilliam. It's no more choices, please. No more choices.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's almost like overkill, glut. I mean, you know, these are things that I think of when I think of the Seven of Cups. So,
lessons of emotions.
I think there are several things in the Rider-Waite to take note of visually.
Mm-hmm.
The man is not in those typical Pamela Smith costuming.
No, he's silhouetted.
He's in a normal. He's actually in a suit.
Uh-huh.
A normal suit of that period. However, we see him from the back, but it's a modern day suit.
Yeah, you're right.
So already there's a shift, a signaling out that this card is different.
Yeah.
The other thing too is I think I mentioned this before, but Wald and Ruthann do this thing where, depending on which cup you pick, there's a major for each cup.
Yeah.
Depending on what cup you pick, that's a message, a special message for you.
Yeah.
And I do know that the central figure, the one that sort of has that holy glow around
mm-hmm.
it, that's the High Priestess.
Uh-huh.
So the other cups are revealed there or obfuscate accordingly. I have to look up on my notes, actually, to find out exactly what each one is. But it is a bad choice. But they're fairly momentous choices. There is one
mm-hmm.
best choice
for you at one particular point in time.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So while you're being offered all of this, it's one choice is the best choice. And obviously that's indicated in the card. Now, whether you feel that about the Toth, I don't know.
But the Toth card is such an ugly card, and I don't think the Rider Waite card is particularly ugly.
No, it's not. It's not ugly at all.
It is really ugly.
But I do think the Rider Waite card's a little overwhelming.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
It's visually overwhelming?
I'm sorry, Cynthia?
Visually overwhelming?
I still didn't hear you.
In other words, is it visually overwhelming?
The idea behind it is overwhelming.
Oh, yes.
But there's so many choices?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because that sort of describes my life to a T. I'm what I like to call a Renaissance soul, and I have a hard time.
Debauch is
focusing, you know.
I always
thought of it this way: is you know, you go around, you never have any girlfriends, and you go for years without having any girlfriends, and then all of a sudden, you got a whole bunch of girlfriends.
And you have to satisfy them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't satisfy any of them, you know. Yeah.
That's relevant to the astrological association of the card, which I think is where Crowley probably is deriving the debauch term from. But it's Venus in Scorpio. And Venus in Scorpio tends to be a lot more sexual and a lot more jealous and, you know, and a lot more
yeah, she also
emotionally manipulative.
I can screw around anybody I want, but you better not.
Yeah.
I think that Joy brought up a very interesting point. I think the deck emphasizes sexuality overtly much more than other decks.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
lust for strength, absolutely. Yes.
If you look it up, the word, it's a French derivative.
Uh-huh.
And it can mean... It basically means an old, debauch. No, I don't know.
Is that something you do to the stew and it doesn't work out?
No, it's a burst of, a riot of. Basically, the way it's used in its derivative, an extravagant.
Mm-hmm.
An extravagance. An overdoing of anything.
Yeah.
Like a burst of energy is un débauche de anage. I mean, I don't speak French, please forgive me.
Yeah.
A riot of colors is un débauche de couleurs. You know, something like that. That's so it's used in the sense of an overdoing.
Excessive.
Yeah, excessiveness.
Excess.
I'm looking at dictionary.com, and I'm looking up the American spelling, the English spelling of it without the E on the end, but
mm-hmm.
it's still from the same, derived from the same thing. The noun definitions include a period of wanton or sensual self-indulgence. Which, doesn't that sound like Uncle Al? You know,
very definitely. And I think that card points that out. It looks to me like it's a card of STDs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, it's like overwatering a plant till it dies.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right. Yeah.
Like overkill.
That's a good thing.
An uninhibited spree or party. Yeah.
Like the other thing about the Toth deck is that his fives and sevens are very much singled out for the negative.
And do you know, I just saw a movie with this flower. It was Butterfly Effect 3. And the flower he's showing is a poisonous flower.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a true... I mean, it's supposed to be a tropic flower that if you smell it, it looks like the same shape as the flower here. Which is interesting. Now I have to go back and see the movie and see if I could get the spelling of that flower.
If you can figure it out. Yeah,
that's interesting. It
looks like it's dripping slime.
That would be interesting,
you know?
if Uncle Al, as you put it, was versed in poisons.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, he was an addict. And maybe this is a comment on his own addiction.
Maybe.
You know, this the substance, the, I don't know what you want to call it, the liquid that is dripping and oozing from the cup,
poisoned apple.
Looks almost like bile. You know, it's just, ugh. Yeah.
Well, obviously in the test, Tarot, it's very extreme, one extreme. The nice thing about the Rider-Waite is that it leaves some room for interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Marseille gives no clue, actually.
Yeah.
But when we read Jodorowsky, it's a very interesting, different approach. So,
I'll have to look up his... So I took it when with the Sacred Rose. I all the sevens are lessons, and it's lessons of emotions.
And the five?
And the five? The five is motivations. Five is motivations, and
well, that is different from the Toth, definitely.
Yeah. Though I use the Toth.
I know, but I don't see strife as being a motivator.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I could.
Oh, yeah.
motivation is coming from the outside.
Right.
Something
mm-hmm.
is motivating you to, you know, to fight back or to defend yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I really did study the words and the illustrations of... both the Rider-Waite and the Toth, and I,
mm-hmm.
in fact, I even took this basically the learning system from the Toth because I found it very effective. I constructed all of the minors together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had all, you know, to get the energies properly. You know, I didn't go through all of the swords. You know, I painted all the swords. I painted all the No, I did the fours, all the fours together, the twos together. I had a whole thing going down the line.
That's the way the Gaian Tarot was created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the minor, she did each, you know, like the whole set of aces, the whole set of twos.
Right.
Well, according to Jodorowsky, I'm working hard on getting that name right. The Seven of Cups, which is the Marseille thing, and I won't read his, is, you know, a 3+4, you know, of four cups. And then, this is emotional fire gestating in darkness and solitude that finally opens toward the cosmos. Love then goes entirely toward the outside and reaches the edges of the universe. We compare this access to the intense appeal of the Virgin Mary, who will accept no other lover but God.
Now, that's pretty high.
Why does he get the
there?
Virgin
Mary? This is ideal.
Oh, I'm going to have a good time with this guy. Yay. Oh, that is...
Isn't that fascinating?
I mean, ooh, it, you know...
I'm brave to even mention the specifics. But when I had a conversation with Johanna, I was telling her he's a bit florid in the way he expresses himself. But in the end, it would be the one cup. There's only one right cup. And in essence, I think he's saying the same thing. But he's not using any kind of magical language except the church, which is what the Marseille was rooted on, according to him.
So let's. I know we're. Let us do our final homage to the great lady of Tarot, our own mistress of the mysteries, Promethea.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking
about
that.
Does anybody have a clue as to how we should be reading this?
Don't ask.
I would suggest that
in unison,
people read a page or two.
Yeah.
And then and let somebody else pick it up. It's all Promethea's voice all the way through.
Okay, so we'll
except for Einstein and. And James Joyce and a few other people.
May I request that I do the first page of the first two, whatever you want, because I'm going to have to sign off and come back.
Good.
All right.
I'm gonna have to leave right now. As a matter of fact, I'm sorry, but I don't know about next week. What's happening next week? By the way,
we're shut down for a while. We're shut down for the holidays.
Yep.
We won't get back together again until January, and then what we'll have is we'll have one or two dry runs trying to use Skype.
But that will be not on Wednesday mornings. That will be on Tuesday evening?
That'll be Tuesday. Tuesday
evenings.
Evening.
Okay.
So is this the last conversation we'll have?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Have a wonderful holiday, David.
Yes, please.
Yeah. I'm sorry to have to leave, but I have to go. But anyway, it's been fantastic. It's really been a wonderful series.
And definitely,
and I really appreciate
read this last chapter. I wanted you to be Einstein, David.
Well, I'm sorry. I just have to go. Anyway,
all right.
I want to thank you, Johanna, for all your work on that spread. I used it, by the way, in my class Monday night, and it blew the people away. We just had a wonderful session.
Oh, great. I'm glad they appreciate it.
They didn't like the soft deck at all, but we did a comparison with some of the other decks as well, but things, it really worked out wonderfully.
Oh, I'm very happy. Great.
We went for an hour and a half discussion, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's good.
Great. Anyway, everybody, have a great holiday, and I'll see you
too.
Next year.
You too.
Next year. Yeah.
Bye-bye, David.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, David.
Morning, Paul. This is David.
Has left the conference. Wow. Well, maybe we should do this alphabetically.
Yeah, we could do that.
I mean, Cynthia wants to start, and I think she's the first alphabetically anyway. So.
Cynthia?
All right. You're on.
Is right. Okay.
Well, Chapter 7, here's a visual celebration, a soliloquy in summation, a dizzying, delightful dance. Promethea. Universe. Well, my love, we're at the end, at the death, if you like. Although, like death, there's plenty more surprises on the other side. But while we're here, alive, let's be glad. 16. Tarot. Path. The Hierophant. Zodiac sign. Taurus. Color. Deep indigo. Jewel. Topaz. Plant. Mallow. Perfume. Storax. Animal. Bull. And then we have
read the Einstein and the...
Okay.
And the James Joyce. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate, she says. I like that.
Einstein's space-time is a timeless four-dimensional solid containing every instant simultaneously forever, including our lives. Death, therefore, is a perspective illusion of the third dimension. Don't worry. A funeral celebration or wake dominates James Joyce's Finnegan's Wake, in which all human experience is distilled into one timeless day. Cheers.
29. Tarot Path. The Moon. Zodiac sign. Pisces. Color. Buff flecked with silver. Jewel. Pearl. Plant. Opium poppy. Perfume.
Ambergris.
Animal. Dolphin. Fish. After all, we've plenty worth celebrating, despite all the world's carnage. The silver of our imagination is the soul's gold. The wonder of our pure perceptions arranging the random swirl of particles about us into reality. Modern science acknowledges...
That's me again. Modern science acknowledges with the mystics that there are other realities beyond the conventional human construct. Reality, essentially, is a field of information. through which all of us perceiving entities roam, as what physicist Murray Gell-Mann called information gathering and utilizing systems, or EGUSs. Unless that means it's God understanding something.
17 Tarot Path, The Lovers. Zodiac sign, Gemini. Color, pale mauve. Jewel, alexandrite. Tourmaline. Iceland spar. Plant, orchid. Perfume, wormwood. Animal, magpie. All hybrids. Here on the other side, if fiction is reality's flip side, let's celebrate imagination like perception of reality. Imagination is flexible, can suddenly invert itself, cartwheeling gloriously from one concept to the next. Imagination can do anything.
Intelligence is not based upon the number of the brain's neurons, but on how many connections we forge between them, linking one concept, one neuron, with another in a shimmering self-aware neural net, something like the game Go. The number of potential neural connections in the human brain exceeds the number of particles in the known universe.
For Sephira, Hesed, or Mercy, plan Jupiter, gods, Zeus, Thor, Indra, and other sky gods. Day of the week, Thursday. Color blue, jewel sapphire. Plant, olive, shamrock. Perfume, cedar. Animal, unicorn. An angel somersaulting through our consciousness. Imagination derives from image. A colorful form unfolding mentally. Image has the same root word as imago, an adult insect, which brings me to the matter of my name.
Both angels and imaginative thoughts being phenomena not reliably repeatable under laboratory conditions are equally outside the province of empirical science. Consciousness, unprovable by scientific standards, is forever than the impossible phantom in the predictable biologic machine, that your every thought a genuine supernatural event, your every thought is a ghost dancing.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to leave you here.
Alright.
And I'll be back when I can. Thank you.
Johanna, you're next. Cynthia has left the conference.
Okay, let's see. Promethea, an imaginary fictional character who manifests in reality through the artists and writers that tell her story. Obviously, the name's a feminine version of Prometheus, which means forethought, which means imagination. First Serapha, Kether, or the crown, gods, Jehovah, Allah, other monotheistic deities, color, brilliant, white, jewel, diamond, plant, flowering almond, perfume, ambergris, animal, god.
So that's appropriate.
Oh, so that's appropriate.
Yeah.
Prometheus is also the title of a character in the book of Promethea by Helene Credo, where she is the heroine of infinity, summoned from the writer's imagination. Current authors were unaware of this work when creating their comic book incarnation. Saturni Di Kalosomaya Promethea is also the name of a species of moth.
Twentieth Tarot Path, The Hermit. Zodiac sign, Virgo. Color, slate gray. Jewel, peridot. Plant, lily. Snowdrop. Narcissus. Perfume, Narcissus. Animal, Virgin. Anchorite, any solitary person or animal. Imagination, tumbling, spinning, is a light that guides humanity into its future. The heaven, stolen light, Prometheus gave mankind, a bright, forbidden knowledge, snake granted in Eden. That serpent's name, Lucifer, means light bringer, incidentally.
In Hebrew numerology, letters have number values. The word for the biblical serpent, Neshesh, means up to 358, as does Messiah, meaning Messiah, another light bringer. Usually the fire and light bringer, be it Prometheus, Loki, or Jesus, is bound or nailed somewhere in punishment, often with their side ravaged or pierced.
Should someone else read?
Why don't you finish off this page?
Okay. This light, this palace of imagination, is mankind's inheritance, a blazing lunar immateria that the final 32nd path reveals. Let us be angels. Be magicians. Let us make our works in these bright fields forever. Asophedia.
Asophedia. Scamonity, indigo, sulfur, all evil odors, animal, crocodile. The immateria, consciousness imagined as space populated by fictions, resembles mysticism's astral plane, composed of astral light pervading everything. Consciousness studies, fast-growing science since 1994, sometimes describes consciousness as radiation permeating our brains and the universe. A fiction-populated twilight world also proposed by the author John Kendrick Bangs.
Okay. Joy, I think you're up next. Not missing anybody, am I? No. Consciousness is an astounding gift, too precious to be squandered on material concerns alone. And consciousness, modern theory maintains, is built on language. Before we're conscious of something, we must have a word for it. 13. Tarot path, the high priestess. Plant, the moon, color, silver. Jewel, moonstone, pearl, crystal. Plant, hazel, almond, mugwort, moonwort. Ranunculus, perfume, menstrual blood, camphor, aloes. All sweet, virginal odors. Animal, dog.
The only reality we can ever truly know is that our perceptions are our own consciousness, while that consciousness, and thus our entire reality, is made of nothing but signs and symbols, nothing but language. Even God requires language before conceiving the universe. See Genesis. In the beginning was the Word.
Representing things with sounds are marked, as with art and language, with a handspring in consciousness, allowing us wonderful new abilities. We didn't call it art, language, or consciousness back then. It was magic.
9. Sephira, Yesod, or Foundation. Planet, the Moon, God, Diana, Selene, Shu, Ganesha, Hecate. All lunar gods and goddesses. Day of the week, Monday. Color, violet, jewel, quartz. Plant, banyan, mandrake, demiana. Perfume, jasmine, ginseng. All odoriferous roots. Animal, elephant.
Magician Aleister Crowley,
yeah.
1875 to 1947, famously described magic as a disease of language, consciousness, art, language, and magic, known as the art. Share a vocabulary. Poetry uses invocation and evocation, as does sorcery. Casting spells is simply spelling, while the black book, or the grimoire, is merely a grammar.
Magic, a science of everything, was how we understood the universe. Examining details, we reduced everything to categories, science, art, religion, fragmenting our worldview. Gradually, however, mankind's reconnecting things into one perspective, into magic. Rejoice. 28, tarot path, the star. Zodiac sign, Aquarius. Color, sky blue. Jewel, artificial glass. Plant, olive, coconut. Perfume, galbanum. Animal, man, eagle, peacock.
What principle of alchemy is that of solve and collega? Dissolve and recombine. Salve is reductionism, taking things apart for the study or analysis. Colluquia was holism, reconnecting everything into a better, more accurate picture or synthesis. Alchemy, then, rather than transmuting metals, is more concerned with transmuting humanity.
Twenty-four. Tarot path, death. Zodiac sign, Scorpio. Color, dull brown. Jewel, snake stone. Plant, cactus. Perfume, sesame, benzoin, and a papamax. Animal, scorpion. I'm having trouble reading this. Hang on just a second.
Beetle.
Oh, scorpion, beetle. Lobster or crayfish, wolf. Magic, after all, is ruled by Hermes. His symbol is Caduceus, its double helix serpents representing mankind's evolution. They wind apart, then recombine, progressing up time's axis toward their ultimate synthesis, towards winged, blazing godhead.
According to alchemy, before this fiery illumination, this gold can occur, there is a period of uncertainty, darkness, putrefaction, and despair. This is called the Negrito. Hermes Trismegistus, this is a legendary founder of alchemy, implies that the twin snakes represent our human microcosm and the celestial macrocosm in his axiom, as above, so below.
Promethea, the Promethea moth's namesake, represents humanity's evolving soul. What ancient Greeks first named our psyche. Adding Delos to reveal, Humphrey Osmond, a colleague of Aldous Huxley, coined psychedelic or soul revealing. Magic, therefore, is always psychedelic.
Mm-hmm.
5. Sephira, Gabura, or strength. Planet, Mars. Gods, Aries, Mars, Sir, Vishnu, Horus, all martial gods. Day of the week, Tuesday. Color, red. Jewel, ruby. Plant, oak,
Duck of Omega, metal. Perfume, tobacco. Animal, basilisk.
The Greek word psyche is described the human mind, soul, or essence. Was not a new word to the Greeks, but had previously been used to mean butterfly or moth. The butterfly's random fluttering from one point to another also accurately models how thoughts follow fractal path from concept to concept. Theorist Julian James has suggested that even our own minds, voices inside our heads, would seem like supernatural visitations to people with no concept of consciousness.
8. Sephira, Hod or Splendor. Planet, Mercury. Gods, Hermes, Mercury, Odin, Thoth. All magic and language gods. Day of the week, Wednesday. Color, orange. Jewel, opal. Plant, moly or mandrake. Antelonium, gluini. I can't read that. Perfume, storax. Animal, hermaphrodite, jackal. Our earliest cave paintings seemed magical and psychedelic to people with no concept of drawn lines representing people or animals. Navigating dark tunnels into torchlit caverns, our ancestors probably perceived real flying antelopes and bison.
Early audiences of Winsor McCay's Gertie the Dinosaur in 1914 believed they were seeing a live prehistoric monster on stage, having no concept of cartoon animation.
Now? Or Paul, are you going to read Promethea?
No, I'll let you guys do it. Little gender bias here.
You're up, Val.
In the primitive rock paintings and creation myths of South America, the snake seemed to predominate. This creator serpent, or that's hard to read. This creator serpent, or
often.
What is that?
Often two separate.
Oh, often two separate snakes, like the caduceus, is contacted using the psychedelic plant extract. Ayahuasca?
Works for me.
21.
Ayahuasca.
It's 21. 21, Tarot Path, Wheel of Fortune, Planet Jupiter, Color Blue, Jewel, Amethyst, Lapis, Lazuli, Plant Oak, Hyster Fig, Poplar, Perfume, Saffron, all...
Generous.
All generous odors. Animal, eagle.
In the Cosmic Serpent, ethnobotanist Jeremy Narby suggests twin snakes as the icon projected by our double spiral DNA as conscious entity. Brains regularly replace all neurons, leaving nowhere to store memory. It suggests that we overwrite memories on our junk DNA, implying communication from organism to DNA, contradicting standard theory.
The serpents are often associated with plant wisdom. Greek medicine god, how do you pronounce that?
I think it's Asclepius.
Asclepius?
Uh-huh.
Obtained it from snakes. Rainforest Indians receive it in snake granted. Is it word again? Ayahuasca visions. If serpents represent DNA, also in plants, this makes sense. 25, Tarot Path, Temperance or Art, Zodiac Sign, Sagittarius, Color, Yellow, Jewel, Jancis, Plant, Rush, Perfume, Aloes, Animal, Centaur,
A hippogriff?
Yeah, a hippogriff. Yeah, a hippogriff is a, it's like a hippopotamus with a long neck.
Oh, I've never heard of that
either.
Yeah. Horse, dog.
The all living things being made from one double helix, perhaps the only true information gathering and utilizing system is DNA itself. According to Narvi's Cosmic Serpent, shamanic rainforest rock art resembles double helixes, chromosomes, pairings, and DNA is spread out for them. Humans have 23 chromosome pairs, 23 being the snake's magical number.
Snakes sometimes symbolize magic's underworld forces. Those of humanity's unconscious, portrayed by psychologist Carl Jung as a primitive cave. Another magical symbol of the underworld or unconscious is the moon, or silverly immaterial imagination. 12 tarot pass, magician or juggler, planet Mercury, color purple, jewel opal, agate, plant vervain, herb Mercury, marjolaine, palm, perfume, mastic, white sandal, mace,
mm-hmm.
Animal, ape, swallow, ibis.
Jung's theories, viewed by mentor Sigmund Freud, are dangerously close to occultism, suggested gods were archetypes recurring throughout the mass unconscious, another kind of immateria. According to Robert Anton Wilson, on one day in the 1920s, Aleister Crowley, Albert Einstein, and James Joyce were all in Carl Jung's Vienna and could conceivably have met.
Wow, talk about a meeting of the mind.
I knew Robert Anton Wilson. I'm sure he made it up.
Well, magicians have imagination. What can I say?
As symbols, moons and snakes have affinity. The phallic serpent represents male fertility, as does Kabbalah's second sphere chakra. The moon, female fertility, relates to sphere 3, Bina. All creation springs from their sexual union. 11, tarot pass, the full, element air, color sky blue, jewel topaz.
Chalcedony.
Okay. Plant aspen, perfume.
Galbanum.
Galbanum?
Mm-hmm.
Animal, eagle or man?
In human terms, the snakes of the phallus symbolizes the will, whilst the moon represents our female receptive imagination. Thus, creativity results in the human between will and imagination. In cosmological terms, some quantum cosmologists suggest that the best description of the universe's initial inflation or exposition is Chokma Bina. The same reproductive organ.
That's reproductive union, Paul, but we know where you're at.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking of your organ, Paul.
Okay.
I think, Johanna, you're up again.
I'm up again? Okay.
Unless Cynthia's back. Don't hear her.
Okay. Snakes, according to Robert Graves, are associated with the sperm-shaped psilocybin mushroom, one of shamanism's earliest psychedelic tools. Perhaps.
And psilocybin, by the way. Mm-hmm. Psilocybin,
yeah.
Perhaps in connection, medieval alchemists labeled psilocybin with the name of snake-associated medicine god, Asclepius, right?
Asclepius.
There's another way of pronouncing it, and I'm not getting it in my head through. I got to figure it out.
Asclepius?
Yeah. I heard it's pronounced different.
Well, you know what Asclepius' major therapy was, don't you?
What?
Dreaming. Sleep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh,
well,
okay.
Asclepius. Yeah.
Asclepius. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Tarot Path 26. Tarot Path, the Devil. Zodiac sign, Capricorn. Color, black. Jewel, black diamond. Plant, Indian hemp. Orchis root, thistle, perfume, musk, civet, all saturnine perfumes, animal, goat, ass.
Mushrooms are a fungus recently discovered to contain collagen, a substance found in animal life but not in vegetable matter, implying some biological connection between animals, including humans and fungi. For whatever reason, certain mushrooms have startling effects upon consciousness, and some have suggested may have accelerated human mental and cultural development. Graves suggested in recipes for nectar, ambrosia, and Demeter's Eleusinian potion. The initial letters of listed ingredients spelled Mucadides, Greek for mushroom, and its diminutive muka and muk.
The psychedelic experience seems central to the magical worldview. Robert Graves argues convincingly that fabled divine potions such as nectar and ambrosia contain mushrooms, as allegedly did Soma, Hindu mythology's drink of the gods. 22nd Tarot Path, Justice or Adjustment. Zodiac signs, Libra. Color, blue. Jewel, emerald. Plant, aloe. Perfume, galbanum. Animal, elephant.
While sometimes indicating any psychedelic drink, even hashish prepared, Soma specifically refers to Amantacha, the spotted fly agaric mushroom, familiar from fairy tales. I don't know what fairy tales he's talking about.
Yeah, me either. Interesting.
Should I continue?
Joy? Yeah.
Who should continue? Joy?
Yeah, Joy is next.
Joy, yoo-hoo.
Joy is gone.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Well, I'll go on.
Go ahead.
Conventional religion echoes this psychedelic sensory overload with its music, incantations, art, incense, and stained glass window light shows. Yet religion based on shared belief resembles science more than it resembles magic. 7. Sephira Netzach, or Victory. Planet, Venus. Goddesses, Venus, Aphrodite, Hathor, Freya, Nike, Winged Victory. Day of the week, Friday. Color, emerald. Jewel, emerald. Plant, rose. Perfume, benzoin, rose. Red sandal. Animal, lynx.
So this is Claudio Monteverdi. Monteverdi, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who he is. It doesn't strike anything off.
He's a composer. Monteverdi was a Baroque composer, along with Scarlatti and
Bach.
And Bach, yeah, but he was Italian, the Italian school.
Yeah.
Now, why he's there, I have no idea. opera.
Latin root as literature. Religion means tied together. In one belief, not necessarily spiritual, scientific and political dogmas, therefore, are also technically religions.
Mm.
Opera, as developed by practicing alchemists.
That's why he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Such as Monteverdi, attempted to magically alter consciousness by incorporating music, words, costume, and dance to similarly overwhelm the senses.
Well, I suggest
yeah, there's your debauch.
Yeah.
Seven.
Well, you know what?
Number seven.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Sephira. Sephiris, mm-hmm. or harmony, beauty, planet, the sun. Gods, Apollo, Osiris, Jesus, Attis, Balder. All solar or resurrected gods. Day of the week, Sunday. Color, yellow, gold. jewel, topaz, yellow diamond. Plant, bay, agassia, vine, laurel. Perfume, olibanum. Animal, phoenix, lion, child. Now we have Carl Heisenberg talking.
Okay, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Heisenberg. Troubled by consciousness, science regards mind as an hallucination of our nervous system, a biology solidly founded on chemistry and ultimately hard physics. However, as Harold Morowitz states in Rediscovering the Mind, physics rests upon quantum mechanics, which Werner Heisenberg asserted is inseparable from the influence of observing human mind.
Science, however, despite having evolved from alchemy, is based upon reliably repeatable phenomena, and therefore cannot discuss even everyday consciousness, much less the exploding psychedelic experience of magic of our human psyche, of our soul. Joy, are you back?
Yes, I'm back now.
Okay.
Sorry about
your
that.
Your turn.
Thanks. Consciousness, even at these ecstatic extremes, arises from language as do religion and technology, meaning simply writings about a body of knowledge. Thus, all these things are governed by language gods like Thoth or Hermes. 23.
Sending energy. Oh, okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Joy.
23. Tarot path, the hanged man, element, water, color, sea green, jewel, beryl, or aquamarine, plant, lotus, all water plants, perfume. I can't read that one. Onika? Onika?
Not Onika, yeah, I guess.
Onika? Myrrh, animal, eagle, mm-hmm. Scorpion, snake.
Kabbalah's descending energy is formless until it reaches Hod, the eighth sphere of the writing gods, where it is dressed in a imagery of language. Hod, governing science, magic, and language, is associated with the messenger god Hermes, scribe god Thoth, and Odin, who endured hanging to become initiated into the magical runic language. That certain arrangements of words affect consciousness is evident in Douglas Hofstadter's essay of nonsense poetry and metamagical themas. The drug-influenced lyrics of the mid-1960s and alchemy's concept of altering conscious using the poetic language of the birds. Magic and God Thoth allegedly derived human speech from the speech of birds.
Joy?
Both Thoth and Hermes have snakes as sacred animals, with serpentine linguistics also implied in the rainforest shaman's art of language twisting. We conjured all reality with intricate snake words, with silver-tongued magic. 27, tarot path, the tower. Planet Mars, color red, jewel, ruby, any red stone. Planet rue, absinthe. Perfume, pepper, dragon's blood. All hot, pungent odors. Animal, bear, horse, wolf. Consciousness, art, and language happen when material organisms connect.
Oh, that's Paul.
Oh, is that?
No.
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
Reading.
Yeah.
Reading.
Okay. Oh, that's okay. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I pay no attention to the woman behind the curtain.
Yes.
Okay.
Joy, continue.
Consciousness, art, and language happen when material organisms connect with immaterial fancies, when earthly life's DNA serpent dances with imagination's lunar spirit. As of Tarot's final 32nd path, their dance creates our universe. 10, Sephira Malkut, or the kingdom. Planet Earth, gods, goddesses, Persephone, Demeter, Ceres, Geb, Nephthys, all earth gods, colors, citrine, olive, rusted, and black. jewel, rock crystal, plant, ivy, willow, lily, all grains, perfume, jitney of Crete, animal, sphinx.
Creative union between animal male forces and lunar female energy, it seems universal. Animalistic Pan rapes lunar Selena. Crawley's lunar whore mother goddess Babon straddles a great beast, sometimes called that old serpent. Even Catholic iconography sometimes portrays the Madonna before a crescent moon, a serpent beneath her feet, symbolizing the Immaculate Conception.
Your consciousness of this current work depends on words, images, the visual language comprising it. As readers, you are physical beings engaging in DNA snake dance with me, a fiction, your immaterial lunar imagination. 14, Tarot Path, the Empress, planet Venus, color sky blue, jewel emerald, turquoise, plant rose, myrtle, clover, perfume, sandalwood, myrtle, all soft and voluptuous odors, animal, sparrow, dove, fawn.
To the Old Testament's creator God, or to any newborn infant, the universe and themselves are initially perceived as one indivisible thing. Naming things God or infant separates itself from everything else with language, divides earth from sky, fish from fowl, and thus creates and constructs the diverse universe around them.
Okay, who's next?
Thou.
The light, the rush, photons in our universe, foremost carrier of information, describing spiritual information, transmitted metaphorical light. We talk of becoming illuminated either as individuals or as a species.
Cynthia
has arrived.
Promethea, like everything you've ever read or witnessed, is made only of light. Reflected light of this poster comic playing over your eye. The light of imagination and play of meaning across your mind.
Some cultures believe that we know everything already, but have forgotten that we do not refer to illumination as loss of forgetfulness.
31, Tarot Path, the Angel, Last Judgment or Aeon, Element Fire, Color Vermilion, Jewel Fire Opal, Plant, Red Poppy, Metal, Hibiscus, Perfume, Alabandum, All Fiery Orders or Odors, Animal, Lion.
The word or logos is our original, sophisticated technology, still unsurpassed, requiring no batteries, a little maintenance, and with only 26 squiggles mastering the universe. All alphabets then are magical alphabets, from English, Hebrew, Greek, to Austin Spare's Alphabet of Desire, to the mysterious runic alphabet coveted by Odin.
19, Tarot Path, Strengths or Lust, Zodiac Sign, Leo, Color, Deep Purple, Jewel, Cat's Eye, Plant, Sunflower, Perfume, I hate this word.
Albandum.
Animal, Lion. Using language, we decode existence, make it lucid, cast light upon it. These marks on paper that you are reading are a program running on the high was software of the human mind and its imagination.
Cynthia,
you want to take us home?
Cynthia.
I'm trying to find where I am.
We're very near the end,
yeah.
Where it's the second Sephira, the second tarot path.
Okay. Let me get there.
Uh,
Jody.
Keep on going. Pay.
I.
Number two.
Number
the pages
two.
Have a lot of yellow
three.
In them. Yeah,
okay.
Lots of yellow.
Well,
it's I think
it's
the fourth
three
page
pages from
the end.
The end of the text.
Two, sorry, two. Fafira, Hokma, or Wisdom, Planet, the Zodiac, Gods, Pan, Priapus, the Holy Ghost, Glycon, all phallic deities, color, gray, jewel, star, ruby, turquoise, plant, amaranth, perfume, musk, animal, man. It's also appropriate that I'm talking to you through the medium of a comic strip story. Ideograms and hieroglyphic picture stories were the earliest written languages, how we recorded our exploits and our fabulous imaginings.
Pentagon studies in the 1980s demonstrated that comic strip narrative is still the best way of conveying understandable and retainable information. Words being the currency of our verbal left brain and images that of our pre-verbal right brain, perhaps comic strip reading prompts both halves of to work in unison.
Three, should I do three?
Uh-huh.
Three, Sephira. Bina, or understanding, planet, Saturn, goddesses, the Madonna, especially the Black Madonna, Ibis, Hecate, Babylon, Selene, day of the week, Saturday, color, black, jewel, star sapphire, pearl, plant, cypress, opium poppy, perfume, myrrh, olivet,
civet,
animal, woman.
An interesting animal.
Yes, especially when associated with a woman. We created fantasies, then struggled to realize them. Everything around you right now originated in someone's mind, creating gods, goddesses, heroes, heroines. We tried to become like them, extending ourselves through sheer imagination.
If gods are transcendent ideas, then the idea of a god is a god. Divine images attempted to raise human consciousness using the power of art. Classical god statues were intended for meditation purposes rather than worship, so that by understanding a god's qualities, we might reproduce them more fully in ourselves.
Cynthia?
18. Do you want me to do 18?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
18. Tarot path, the chariot, zodiac sign, cancer, color, maroon, jewel, amber, plant, lotus, perfume, ankhya, animal, crab, turtle, sphinx. Imagination can transform us. Yasad, the lunar sphere of imagination, is the foundation on which our spiritual life rests. Imagination arises out of consciousness, which itself blossoms from Hod, the mercurial, magical sphere of language.
Kabbalah is a venerable, originally verbal tradition, organizing the entirety of the Hebrew thought with its alphabet and numbers into our one knowledge system represented by the Tree of Life glyph. Hod and Yasod are special interest to the magician or shaman, being readily accessible through dreams, imaginations, ritual meditations, or psychedelic drugs.
30. Tarot path, the sun, planet, the sun, color, gold, yellow jewel, chrysalis, plant, sunflower, laurel, heliotrope, perfume, oleanum, cinnamon, all glorious odors, animal, lion, sparrow, hawk. Using language, imagination, and will, we create reality moment by moment, weaving concepts and sensations, light and sound, on the loom of our consciousness, just as you're doing now reading this final episode of Promethea.
Will, situated above intellect, and emotion at the solar sphere. There, tempera is our highest self, our soul, the gold alchemist sought. It's the Christ and Apollo in us, our perfect fulcrum of spiritual harmony. In the sacred mushroom and the cross, John Allegro suggests that solar Christianity derives from a psilocybin cult. Visionary Emanuel Swedenborg stated, "Angels know nothing of time. The solar consciousness of Tepereth is eternal, like Einstein's space-time, or Joyce's eternity embracing a single day. Both lunar and serpentine, Promethea represents those fertile forces coupling within us, whereby we parethenogenetically conceive and birth the shining, redeeming child of our own sacred will."
15. Tarot Path, the Emperor. Zodiac sign, Aries. Color, red. Jewel, ruby. Plant, tiger lily. Geranium, perfume. Dragon's blood. Animal, ram, owl. I've enjoyed our dance. You were the perfect partner, and I'm going to miss you. But space-time is eternal, with everything in it. You and me, always here, always now. You and me, forever.
Sophie Bangs, Promethea, 1999 to 2004.
Wow. Well, well, well. And it's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, I'm sort of glad that most of Prometheus' narrative, rather than long diatribic explanation.
Yeah. Okay, shall we get to the reading? I think that there are clues here for us, depending upon the cards that came up and the paths. What we just read. I just want to say is that I have done a path working using the perfumes.
Oh, nice.
Whatever perfumes that they say with Lady Sarah.
That would be very intense.
Yeah. I mean, with no need, the incense and perfumes of
don't
each path.
Psilocybin, huh?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was totally wonderful. In fact, when I had my ladies group, I'm talking many years when I lived in Woodside, Queens, I had a wonderful ladies group with one gay man. And it was amazing, totally amazing. Their favorite incense was Fire of Azrael, which was a blend, a ceremonial magic blend. But you know what it smelled like? Do you know Avon's what's the Avon oil that you use to repel insects?
InsoSoft?
Yeah.
It's got eucalyptus in it.
Well, whatever, it smells just like that.
It's primarily eucalyptus.
So it was very, very interesting. Very interesting. Skin So Soft is a very magical scent, if you can bear it.
Now I know why I use it.
Yeah, I use it too. And but Fire of Azrael is the oil and incense that is a generic use as described by Dion Fortune.
Wow.
In other words, it covers all the perfumes.
Yeah, it covers general opening up of the consciousness and the astral doorways. I think it was put into moon magic. I think she mentions it in moon magic.
Wow.
And they were actually addicted. We need our fire of Asriel fix. You know, that's what how we started.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, yeah. It was really fun. Okay, just that was just a, an aside. But I would definitely, if you can bear perfumes, I know some people cannot here. But if you can and get just samplings, I do know a person over the web that can help you with that. So let me know, and I will definitely send you the link to his site.
Was Lady Sarah in Queens at one time?
No, Lady Sarah is a West Coaster, and she ran the Los Angeles Temple of the Golden Dawn. Her high priest, believe it or not, is Edwin Steinbrenner. Burka, right, Steinbrecher. I keep on getting too confused with the old Yankee guy. Yeah. Edwin Steinbrecher, and he is mentioned now in Tarot Philosophy as a major contributor to the Monday Tarot. And I met Edwin through Lady Sarah. We had one of those very intense sessions. Very intense sessions. And but it was really wonderful meeting him, because he is really fascinating.
Was this by telephone?
No, I met him in person.
Oh, wow.
He came to New York City and had a workshop, and I attended the workshop with him that he led. But also, that is another book if we ever want to tackle it.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Inner Guide Meditation.
You recommended it to me before, and it is a very, very good book.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, which book is that?
Inner Guide Meditation.
Ah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that could be in the queue. How long we're going. Yeah. We'll be gumming our oatmeal. Yeah, let me read this chapter.
Uh-huh. Oatmeal, heck, we're going to be on.
I'll tell you, reading system, my text was very hard to see.
I know.
I think it's such a valuable, important chapter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff that was in white was very hard to read.
Yeah.
If anybody springs for the third volume of the Absolute Promethea, which will be coming out next year, in September of next year, I think, September or October of next year, they'll have a really big blown up version of this last chapter.
Mm-hmm.
The large print version.
Yeah, it'll be larger print, and the pull out will be bigger too.
Mm-hmm.
So, honey, at the very end of my book, which is a soft covered.
Yeah, I have the same thing. Yeah.
Oh, you see in red, creating the dream, the making of it.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I have that here.
Okay, because I thought that might be of extra interest to you.
Yeah, I'll read it. But we have to get through with the,
I'd like to, look at the reading.
The reading?
Yes, definitely.
So what do we have here, Paul? Give us your Carol hermeneutic styling.
Let's look at the main line for his four cards, which is the Queen of Wands. So who's the Queen of Wands? That's Promethea.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. The attainment.
And who's the second narrative? He's the magician. It's all these. I was playing the magician in this.
I would say Alan Moore.
Well, yeah. But it was under a variety of personas. Those characters that were cited,
right,
such as Carl Jung and Freud and Joyce and Aleister Crowley and all these other people.
And the magician is Mercury, and so we see Toast Baboon there, as well as the double serpent of the Caduceus
And then we have, of course, we do have, actually, the second one is Strife, the Wands, whereas the Magician is the third, Air, and then Art. So we can understand the Queen of Wands and Magician and Art all representing kind of what this spread is doing. But where does Strife come in? I want to understand Strife.
Strife is very interesting. It's because it's competition. Basically, it's a more formal word for obtainment and competition, the competitive nature, and having to travel up the tree. It's not easy traveling up the tree. It's strifeful.
Did you read this as going up the tree or down the tree? Because I wasn't. It would have been nice to have had a little map.
Yeah,
I know. I was. I pulled out some books.
As far as I could tell, but
yeah, I think we were going the path of the serpent, though. I think we were going definitely the path of the serpent.
We're going the serpent down rather because we took the. We took the lightning bolt up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's what I'm gathering, that there is an emotional price to pay when you're studying metaphysics or self-knowledge. Yeah.
That's very true.
Let's see.
Because it was in a position of emotion. What? Excuse me?
Joy? It's helpful to think of Mars energy as being the creative energy, not just simply the.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that competition has that role as part of creation, and so that's the.
And playfulness.
Yeah, and playfulness. So I think that's part of. I think it's part of that creative energy he's talking about between like Chokhmah and Bina and in that kind of stuff, and that. In between our male and female characters, our Queen of Wands and our Mercury, post-Mercury, so I think that's relevant in terms of creative energy.
And the picture of strife is very interesting on the Toth deck, because it's not really, I would say, the same as, definitely not the same connotation as the strife in what we call the Rider Waite.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a combining of all energies. Like yeah. Which one wins
there's
out?
There's an interesting note to this in the Crawley Tarot,
mm-hmm.
for the Five of Wands, which is I think the five shows four crossed wands with a fifth one standing upright. Upper crossed wands are crowned by the head of the phoenix, and this corresponds to the purification of fire or rebirth from the ashes of the Two of Wands. Both lower ones carry the lotus symbol, the creative energy of the Great Mother, or the Three of Wands. So it's a 2-3 thing, causing everything in existence to blossom and thrive. The middle, thicker wand bears the Uraeus sign, the king's sun-like symbol of Egypt. Crawley speaks of the staff of the chief adept. And the Magus or devil cards, the Uraeus staff symbolizes the greatest development. And its thonic roots, the staff is represented in the form of the Egyptian scepter, a symbol of the highest solar power, the fork-like lower. So energetically, the five is equivalent to the revolutionary renewal. So I think that water with the five of wands, strife being in the second water position, is representing sort of like chaotic energies, you know, to which the magician, the queen of wands, and temperance and art are all, you know, well, we're taking this sort of raw energy and making it communicable.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I would like to inject just a little, being a wordsmith myself, it fascinates me that the word strife sort of has come to have negative connotations, and yet the word striving, which is really only mm-hmm. a different form mm-hmm. of the same word,
right.
is a more positive thing.
Right.
You know, strife itself is negative, it's a bad thing, strife, but striving is encouraging, it's working for something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Working towards. Yeah, working towards a goal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and actually I think that's a very important distinction you're making there, Mary Beth.
I agree.
A really good one, yeah.
There's one other thing for the Five of Wands, which is it's that Saturn in Leo, and the Five of Wands in the ordering of the minor arcana pips that the Golden Dawn uses, that's the first card, and it's because it's representative of the beginning of the year in Egyptian mythology or in Egyptian timekeeping they started their year at the heliacal rising of Sirius, which happened in the summer in Leo, and
which makes sense because there were sun worshippers for a long time.
Well, it also predicted the coming of the inundation, so it was helpful in terms of timing that way. But the inundation, of course, is really relevant to our water position, the kind of sun and water. It's like this coming together, again, of masculine and feminine, fire and water, for creation, which was that's when the land became fertile and the crops began to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So just lots and lots of stuff in that one card in that position. I think it's pretty interesting.
You know, by the way, these things like the realizing that the waters change when Sirius rises in Egypt, all of these were based on codifications, you know, ones that became solid, you know, solidly, empirically reproduced over generations, observations, empirical observations, which was the form of divination.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is that people became aware through divining that, hey, when this star appears, then we know the water is going to be high, you know, within very soon, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because the floods, you know, it took I don't know how many days or weeks for the flood waters of a certain from Lake Victoria to swell the Nile, but you know it took some time. You know, so that, you know, then so they didn't have the clue of rain that was going to happen. So they found these other correlations.
And yet, I don't know that they really understood that it was a correlation. I think maybe they perceived it more as cause and effect. Perhaps. That's just a...
Well, that goes back to a scientific view of cause and effect. Yeah,
yes.
Which they didn't have. They probably saw the universe working in mysterious ways, some of which showed themselves to people and some of which didn't.
Okay. Well, and to take the vocabulary of the chapter we just read, they saw the universe communicating with them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's a perfect way of putting it. Yeah.
Now, how about art? The in the summation area of the elements, you have it in the manifestation area.
Alchemy, I believe, to Crowley.
Of temperance and isn't it? Or isn't it?
Yeah, that's temperance. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, what's the function of temperance and art? They both mediate something.
Yeah.
They both deal with a kind of communication.
And they combine unlike elements into something new and better, although that's a judge, you know, that's a relevant stuff.
Well, in the days...
Alchemy was definitely, and it's funny that it follows magician, its lower aspect was to create gold.
Yes.
To make gold. But the higher aspect was to create the Christ in you.
Yes. Which is gold of another type.
Which was the gold of another exactly another type. So I do see it as summing up, and it can, one has to strive for it. Promethea went through the whole thing.
There was right there for sure.
I think, you know, even reading this 3-4-3-2-1 works. As far as Earth is concerned, I have a different view of Earth than many. I think that for us, the Earth is totally magical. And, you know, alchemy was considered a magical practice by more conservative types, shall we say, in its day. Finally being outlawed, people were burned, blah, blah. So I think the fact that Pentacles is missing is kind of summarized by art, temperance, alchemy, and earth, in the earth position. And that I think it's like a warning, you know, pay attention to this. pay attention to the Earth number four position.
Now, what I would notice with this reading, also since it's our last, is that we had art, and it mediates the hidden motivation, which is the universe, right? So art is this way, is art is what we take the immensity and also the grandeur of the universe and translate it into something that's communicable. But we also have, as the future outcome, we have the Seven of Cups, which is this debauch, which is where we're overwhelmed with this possibility.
Yeah. With and the infinite possibilities, actually.
Yeah. So that, you know, and this is where the, going back to the other term of temperance, you can see that temperance there would represent a way of cautioning us with the issue of the Seven of Cups. But then look at what moderates that future outcome. The Four.
Yeah.
And the Fool.
Yeah.
And you notice that this is the second time the stars appeared in our... It never appeared
very late until what?
It never appeared until
like 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, it was the first time it appeared. It had appeared in the Earth place, which is where art is now.
Mm-hmm. And now it has sort of risen.
Yeah.
I must make a say something about art here and alchemy, because when many years ago in the Renaissance, artists and did make their own pigments.
Right.
Created
right.
their own gessos. They had to be right. chemists. I mean, I have an artist material guide upstairs, and which tells me how to do certain, you know, how to create pigments and proportions and things like that. This was
the manner of alchemy. Then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was actually, you had to be part chemist. To of course, it was always given to the apprentice, so the second person.
You remember the movie, that I think it was called The Red Violin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Where he made his own varnish out of
exactly.
dried
mm-hmm.
blood.
Right.
That's right, I had forgotten that.
Yep.
Wow.
Exactly, so whichever...
Didn't he die in childbirth?
Yes, yeah, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But... I do think, you know, the Five of Wands and then coming into the end of Arc of Influence, the Nine being Four of Swords, Truth, that's an interesting circle, full circle. And Universe, all these majors, Magician, Art, Star, and Fool, Universe, of course, just bring us, I mean, it's to me, instinctively, it's just totally appropriate to the final chapter and to the experience of reading Promethea.
I agree.
I you know, the way I see it is that you will always have your choices to be made, it's saying.
That's interesting that you said that, because I was just thinking to myself, it's not even advice that we give. It certainly isn't. It's choice.
Mm-hmm.
This looks like the possibilities before you. You
right.
have a choice.
Right.
And this is the influence over them. Of course, with the choice of communicating, which is the way I'm looking at alchemy, through some sort of creative means, you have the Magician and the Universe hovering around you.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel it's extremely well aspected. But I see what are your choices more, and you're really throwing it back on the person you're giving the reading to,
which is
by using the word choice.
I can see in this position it may be life. Debauch could be life, just life in itself, because life is choices.
Knowing Toth, knowing Crowley, but when you said choice a few times during all of this, it was like, for some reason, you know, a brick had to fall on my head. I really felt closer to, I felt an instant bond with the top tarot, something I could never do before.
Wow.
Never even
it finally happened this late in the game here. Yes.
So late in the game. Because now I realize for all his harsh words, debauch, strife, and fixing that, so to speak, on and it's just a choice.
Yeah.
You know, you might even, a nice way, wish him for strife. Well, you want to have strife over this, or you want to strive over this?
Right, that's right.
Yes, Blanca?
Okay.
I think that Crowley is a moralist. I'll be honest with you.
Yes, I agree from this point of view. Yeah, totally.
You said he's a nihilist?
Moralist.
Yeah.
I see him as being a very moral...
Has left the conference.
I find him as a very moralistic person.
But not... what word I'm looking for here? Not subscribing to accepted morality,
right.
but forming his own viewpoints of it.
But the tradition is.
Yeah.
I mean, the strong tradition is that virtues are inherent with proper practice.
Uh-huh.
So you know, when you have these situations, they carry within them their own virtue. You know, their own, in some ways you could say their karma.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might say that, you know, in popular Christianity, the thing that is missing for the most part is a full recognition of karma.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because people don't necessarily see moral consequences with their actions.
Well, but the karma comes afterwards. In modern Christianity, the karma comes, you make your own karma for the afterlife by how you live in this life. You know, do you go to heaven or do you go to hell?
That's part of the old tradition, though, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Karma is in terms of, well, it doesn't matter. I don't need to get into that right now. Let's deal a little more with the Star, the Fool, and the Four of Swords. Specifically is the, we know the Star, the Star is strongly paired up with the Seven of Cups and the Fool. And so in some ways that is sort of, as I think somebody said, throwing it back on ourselves, right? But what about the Four of Swords? What's that telling us?
The Four
I was looking at it as a kind of balance or equilibrium after kind of the strife, striving of creation process.
In other words, after the excess
of
things, but that's interesting, is it is in Swords, which is the week before mighty lacking.
Mm.
We had no Swords, if I remember right, from.
We didn't have any in the reading that we did for the blog talk. Thing. There were no swords.
Yeah, there was a sword in the one from last week.
But the
Two of Swords. Yeah.
The webcast. There were no swords in that, as I recall.
Okay. So yeah, well, that's kind of the way I was looking at it too. Is it represents a framework for understanding, for seeing things. And I went up and looked at our first reading that we did, which is before we adopted Johanna's. And our first reading was we had three cards, the Aeon, Universe, and the inverted Three of Swords. So what's kind of interesting is that we don't have the Aeon in this reading, but we do have the Universe in this last reading, and we also have the Four of Swords as the last card, which is interesting in that the last card in the first reading was the Three of Swords.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, too, just from the perspective of having participated in this group, that we get the Four of Swords truth as the very last card. card in our very last reading. We're all kind of going our separate ways for a while, closing in on ourselves a little bit, mm-hmm. taking away what we will, and just, you know.
Right, it's the end. It's the end of a study, because the
yeah.
Truth card is rest from strife.
Yep.
That's,
yeah.
You know, and we have strife here.
Rest from striving also.
Rest from striving, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're
you have strife and rest from strife. So now
yep.
that's it. And that means we possibly have to revisit this a few times.
Yes.
I don't know if we're over with Promethea.
Why don't you get it? Yeah, it'll be an interesting... I don't know if we'll ever actually do this kind of course again with Promethea. At least I don't know if I'll ever do it again. But, but you can always go ahead.
Well, it's had a very profound impact on me. I mean,
sometime in the future, if you get the right chemistry of a few interested parties together, you could maybe run through it again. I'm sure if you did it again, it would be very different.
Of course it would.
That would be true with anybody, with any
yeah.
of these things, like your consciousness studies. We can't really exhaust them.
But, you know, you said you used a word that was very important, Paul, and that's chemistry. This group has had a very productive chemistry, I think. I think we've coalesced very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, well, thank you. So, actually, on that basis, I guess it's time for each of us to do our... To do our final benedictions before we end this process. Anybody got anything they want to say in closing?
Oh.
How about you, Val?
I can't think of anything. I'm a total blank.
Now, Val, you know, one of the things we've been talking about this other thing we're doing, and we're thinking of it on Tuesday nights from around 7 o'clock. Does that work for you?
Yeah, that'll work.
It would work. It would work for a couple
uh-huh.
hours at that time.
All yeah.
right. I didn't want to be particularly leaving you out. Let's
yeah.
try to accommodate the vast unknown other people that may or may not ever actually
mm-hmm.
show up on these
right.
calls. Okay, that's good to know. Or to confirm.
When will we do our dry run with the Skype to see if it works?
Well, yeah, I need about 3 or 4 people for the Skype. Basically, what it would mean is, be updated on your Skype and send me your...
Yeah, Skype has a new update, everyone, so you may want to do that.
I updated it, but send me your Skype tag so that I can contact you directly. And then what I'm going to do is create a group with everybody who's interested in being in the thing with their Skype tags.
Now I have a dumb question. I will introduce the dumb question of the day. We are not talking about a video Skype, correct? We're talking about just
no,
audio.
No, yeah, with more than 3 people, you don't
yeah.
can't do video.
Yeah.
So the video.
Because my experience.
No, you
Skype
do now.
Skyping with
you
my
do.
Grandson, you know, but.
Yeah, you can do it. You can do one-on-one. You can do video.
I thought we can do video now with the new Skype, more than one person, Paul.
Well, maybe I don't know. I haven't noticed that being the case, but I haven't used Skype in quite a while with more than one person.
Yeah, I like I said, my experience of Skype is mainly video chatting with my grandson. He calls it. He calls it Face Skype.
Oh, how cute.
Five. What does he know? You know, Face Skype. I love it.
What I would like, possibly, I don't know if it can be done. I really, are we going to still be doing spreads?
Yeah, we're still
Oh, that
do
would be
spread.
Good to be able to see that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we could do the spread ahead of time and post it.
Mm-hmm.
Have it online so you could pull it up.
Yeah.
Know. I mean, we could do it a day ahead and have it posted, and it'll
right, and
give you the URL to it.
Right, because of the
And there's all when you're Skyping, you can also do a chat at the same time.
Right. Yeah, it's a little bit more work because as you're reading to chat and chat as you read, you know, but if you have a question and you don't want to interrupt anybody, just type in your question so that we don't have people talking over each other, but that may, that's a bit, you know, that's a habit we all have.
And the thing is,
in my household especially.
The Skype will either work or it won't work. If it doesn't work, we'll go back to the video conference. This thing is, this is merely, I'm doing a little reaching across the pond. We might get a couple of people from England.
Hands across the water?
Yeah, I'm doing a little bit to reach.
I know Emily Carding would have loved to do Promethea if it was the proper time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But she couldn't.
But, you know, as I said, the you know, and our archives will remain that. They'll be indefinitely up on my site for, you know, it doesn't cost me anything once I post all this stuff. Just leave it there.
Well, Paul, you've been, to take us back to the old Rocky and Bullwinkle days, you're back to being fearless leader, and I think that's pretty fine. You've done a good job.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Yep.
By the way, I've been going through coming up with the our thing, which I'm calling toward Taro Wisdom.
Ah. Yeah.
Yeah. On the way to Taro Wisdom. Yeah, that's it. On the way to Taro Wisdom is the name of the new class, which is you know, a take on the way of the Taro.
Mm-hmm. The way of Taro Wisdom.
Right.
Wisdom from Rachel's.
Sorry, Rachel.
We're
gonna
Hadarovsky. Hadarovsky will be used as our primary text. There's some technical stuff in the beginning, introductory chapters, and some of the things. Sometimes what we'll do is we'll one session only devote specifically to Hadarovsky because it's technical, and it doesn't make sense to do comparative stuff when you haven't quite figured out it might take two or three sessions to figure out what this process is that Hadarovsky's introducing, particularly his numerology. And then, you know, Rachel has her numerology, which is buried under things. So what I'm going to do is use Hadarovsky's structure as our primary guide, and Rachel's book will be tagged in. And sometimes we'll only deal with Rachel's stuff, but it'll be after we've dealt with Hadarovsky's stuff, so then we can compare and contrast. So that's the way it'll go. And, you know, and I'm going to set it up. We're going to do it in 12-week sessions. So we'll do 12 weeks, and then we'll either we'll have a review or a little break, and then we'll do another 12 weeks. It'll probably take... I have no idea how long it'll take to actually...
Oh, 4 or 5 years. No problem.
Yeah. I have no idea how it'll do, but we don't. We'll read through it, discuss it, and understand it. And I think after the end of it, in terms of the numerology and some of the abstract stuff that Hadarovsky deals with, will you know, nicely you know, reinforce other ways that you read your own tarot, other tarot cards anyway.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you don't have to just. I mean, we're not. Even though we are going to pay attention to his thing, and also we're going to pay attention to his color spectrum pretty closely. All right. Well, anybody wants to... This is still sayonara time.
Yeah. Thank you,
Paul.
Oh,
you guys, this has been so good. I mean, I've known several of you for quite some time, but I feel like I know all of you even better now. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you.
That's a good thing.
And
thank you, Joy.
Yes.
And Val, our silent partners, we really appreciate you showing up.
And actually,
I find it hard to believe that Joy is such a silent partner since we used to take classes from her.
I was pretty silent in the class, too, which is why I don't do well.
Joy, did you enjoy the process? You did enjoy the process.
Yeah, I really
did. Yeah.
I really enjoyed this a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's because there's no real teacher. There is just the coming of knowledge from and give and take. I enjoy this type of learning more than the academia type.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but I have a thing about, you know, authority.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, and...
Well, there's the other thing about this kind of knowledge is, yeah, it's a little less structured.
Mm-hmm.
But what you get in with the authoritarian knowledge is you're going to get intense little pieces,
mm-hmm.
and then vast amounts of things are left out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What we do here is you get a kind of over pattern, and some of the stuff will come out and become really strong for you, and some of it may never make any sense, and just forget about it as soon as it's brought up.
This is a very organic process,
mm-hmm.
and furthermore, I think it's a very personally organic process. You know, it's different for each person.
That's what it's meant to be. In plenty of graduate seminars, I decided that the best graduate seminars were ones which were conversational,
mm-hmm.
and that that the book was used as the base of the text. In other words, you argue with the book, not with the professor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, if the professor is the only one who can read the book, then you get in trouble.
Yeah.
But that's another story.
Yeah. I must say, I'm going to shut off the tape now, right? Is that
right.
Okay?
Yep.
That's fine.